just say amen. Amen, House of Judah. In our scripture for today, I'm using 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, and verse 7. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, to honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. Amen. And we are continuing in our series this morning, genuineness, not famous faith, but genuine faith. And my genuine faith. Somebody say from almost faith to genuine faith. Somebody say from almost faith to genuine faith. Now, in a world that celebrates recognition and applause, we like to be noticed. God is still refining. Somebody say refining. God is still refining genuine faith, a faith that stands the test, a faith that honors God, a faith that transforms not only our lives, but the lives of those that we connect with. And today, y'all, we are going to reflect on that. What does it mean for us to reflect on our faith? And when we do, our faith is strengthened. And this is how we deepen our walk with God. 1 Peter says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, somebody say abundant mercy, according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Somebody say again. Again. Repeat it one more time. Again. Aren't you glad that God's mercy is towards us again and again and again and again? And it is to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not just any way, but it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Aren't y'all glad that Jesus was raised for us? Yes. And that's why it's important, y'all, that we reflect. We reflect on our walk, our faith in God, so that our walk can be made deeper. And we do it again. We say again because that's what the refining is. We have to remember what God has done, and if he's done it before, he will do it what? Again. And so reflection is refining. And when we go through that fire and we are being refined, somebody say, that's what makes us genuine. Yeah, somebody say, I'm genuine. Mm-hmm. And what does genuine mean? Genuine means we are real and exactly what we seem to be. Can I say it like the Holy Spirit just said it to me? Y'all know they got to give us a laugh in here. Real and exactly what it seems to be, Holy Spirit says, unlike my hair. Jesus is real. Somebody say, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. So genuine is something that, or that is truly something that is said to be authentic. It is real. It is actual. It is rightful. It is legitimate. It is lawful. It is honest to goodness, the real thing. Somebody say, the real thing. Give me a minute. And somebody say, we got the papers. Do y'all have the papers? Yes, the paper. Somebody, all that have their book with you, hold up your word, say, I got the papers. Yeah, this is what makes us real. This is what makes us genuine. And it's documented. And it's good to know that, because in being genuine, it has to do with being reflective. And how are we defining things? So we have to know what we are talking about so that we will get the real. And we do that by reflecting. And we reflect and we think deeply and we're careful about it. We're taking some time. We're unhurried. We're considering something that is recalled into our mind. Somebody said, what you been thinking about? Holy Spirit says sometimes we have to think about what we're thinking about. So what are we thinking about? And when we think of reflecting, another word comes that goes along with it is remembering. We have to remember. Repeat after me. We have to remember, not relive. Do y'all get that? There's a difference in me remembering what God has brought me through. There's a difference in me remembering what has happened in my life and me reliving it. When I think about it, I feel the same shame. I feel the same guilt. I feel the same distress. That's reliving. But whenever I do, like the songwriter says, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I'm remembering how God brought me through that refining fire. I'm not reliving the flames. I'm seeing how God brought me through the flames. Remember is mentioned 172 times in the Bible, and it's not just mere recollection. It is taking time to recall a significant action. And we also remember what God's promises are to us. And y'all, I'm going to try to say this Hebrew word, zakur. That's the easy one, but I had to work with that Greek word. The Greek word for remember is mnemoniuo. Mnemoniuo. The way the Holy Spirit helped me say it, which made me feel really good. No money you owe. You want to say, no money you owe. If you're claiming to be debt-free, what you going to say? No money I owe. No money you owe. That's Greek. So sounds good in English, and it sounds good in Greek, doesn't it? And we have to remember it as we stand on it, because we're told in Genesis 9:15, I will remember my covenant with you, says God, and with every living soul that enlivens flesh. Also in Deuteronomy, we're told, and you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. While we may not be the Israelites coming out of a difficult time in a wilderness, we can still think back and make this scripture our own. Somebody say, I remember. I remember that the Lord led me out. How many of you know that the Lord led you out of your wilderness? Oh, it's so good to be free. And remembering serves as a reminder. That's what makes that faith so genuine. We remember and we are reminded of God's faithfulness. Not so much what we've done, But God's faithfulness and God's provision during whatever those times were. And it's an opportunity, and it's where we are being invited to reflect on our journey. And this is what helps us to grow in our faith. Sometimes we have to look back in order to get back and to stay back, if you will. That's why 1 Peter 1:3 says, His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, not just for any old reason and just any way, but it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Isn't that something wonderful? We know that Jesus rose for us so that we can allow those things that try to hold us down to stay dead. Amen. Say, thank God for Jesus. And remembering strengthens our faith towards being genuine. How am I going to be genuine? What makes me genuine? Well, according to 1 Peter 4 through 5, we are told that it's an inheritance. It's incorruptible and it's undefiled, and that does not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for us. See, our faith is not just what we do, but it's because of the shed blood of Jesus, because of the sacrifice that Christ made for us. It gives us that inheritance. Aspects have some fake beads. We may have some other fake aspects that are going around, and things in this life will break. They are corruptible, but what God has for us, our inheritance, that's incorruptible. That is undefiled. And it does not fade away. Repeat after me. What God's faith looks like. It is incorruptible. It is undefiled. And it cannot fade away. That's our inheritance. Say, that's my inheritance. Give God a hand for our inheritance. Amen. You know what's good about it? He already died for us, so the inheritance is already here for us. We don't have to wait for something to happen. We just have to strengthen, allow our faith to be strengthened and walk into it. Amen. Why? It's for us who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. It's not just for any old thing. Somebody say it's not just for any old thing. We are kept. Repeat after me. We are kept. Our faith is genuine by the power of God. It's nothing we do. It's the power that works in us. Somebody repeat after me. Somebody say, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's what keeps us going. And that's what helps our understanding and experience and faith to be revealed at the appropriate time. Amen. Sometimes the word, are y'all getting excited about this the way I am? Sometimes the word hits and it hits right, doesn't it? Yes, thank you, Lord. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for just being awesome. For helping us to have genuine faith. Amen. Amen. Because you know what, y'all? Remembering strengthens our faith. How is your faith strengthened? Yes, we pray. Yes, we fast. Yes, we intercede. Yes, we do missions. We read. We study. We fellowship. But it's something about remembering that strengthens our faith. You know why? Kurt Carr had a nice song, and it said, I almost let go. Okay? Have y'all ever had a time in a place where you almost let go, I almost gave up, I almost went there, but by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, by the power of the blood of Jesus, kept me where I was. Where somebody say, I didn't go there. Yeah, I didn't go there, thank God. Almost, though. Almost. And as Brandon says, almost doesn't count. And according to the word, almost does and almost doesn't count. Okay, kind of like whenever they're in basketball, you be talking about, we almost won. I said that one time to somebody. You know, we almost won. And one of my intelligent friends says, yes, and almost only counts in horseshoes and grenades. Oh, honey, but sometimes, hallelujah, it's the almost that takes us into the presence of the Holy Spirit. So almost can sometimes refer to indecision, errors, those times where we weren't quite committed. We weren't fully embracing our faith, but you know, we still got to get there. Holy Spirit says the person that we are not is not the same person we were when we were in our mother's womb. I can't be one and be 61 all at the same time. So all of this is about a progression that strengthens our faith. We got to be careful. And we also have to understand, too, we have been like King Agrippa, who was talking to Paul. King Agrippa said, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost. Have you had somebody, you almost got me there. You almost got me. But whenever we look at the psalmist said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had almost, well nigh, just about, could have been, they almost slipped, but they didn't. So we got to remember those almost. Psalms 19:87 said they had almost consumed me. Some things almost consume us, but I did not forget your precepts. You almost got me, situation. You almost got me, broken heart. You almost got me, fear, doubt, and indecision. But I remember. Somebody say, I remember. Don't forget to remember where all your blessings come from. Psalms 94:17 says, unless the Lord had been my help. Somebody say, Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul almost dwelt in silence. Lord, aren't y'all glad for the almost of God? Somebody say, I'm glad. For the almost in God. Yeah, this emphasizes when we reflect on those times that we almost, because the word says yield not to temptation. See, there are some times when we could have yielded, we may have yielded, but he says yield not to it, because it's whenever you do go ahead and go that we end up God. Oh, that sounded all right, didn't it? That's why we have to remember of how important it is being when we have relied on God. Being genuine, that's what helps us to be genuine. That is the fire. That is what makes 1 Peter 4:5 so amazing. That we didn't give up. That we held on to our inheritance. See, it's not what we almost did, it's what God has already done. And it's already incorruptible. It's already undefiled. It never fades away. Somebody say, it doesn't fade away. See, where I am may be moved and shaken, but where God is, that doesn't fade. Say, God doesn't fade. Mm-mm. And it's a constant reservation. And it's for us who are kept by the power of the Holy Spirit. We become more genuine, more authentic, more transparent in our faith as it deepens. So the deep, somebody say, the deeper we go, the deeper we get. And that is so that the genuineness, somebody say, the genuineness of our faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. Oh, it may not look shiny all the time, but it's not going to perish. See, though it is tested by fire, though there are going to be those things that make us wonder, is this really my faith, Jesus? But it says that is what makes us so that we may be found to praise, to honor, and to glorify, not at what we're able to do, but at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? When our faith becomes more and more genuine, and we see it not just in others, but ourselves as well, that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you see your faith, when we see our faith at work, that's like seeing Jesus. Somebody say, when I see your faith, I see Jesus. Yes. Somebody say, I see Jesus. I see him. I feel him. I know him. He is being revealed right now. Praise God for that. What else does genuine faith do? 13 through 16 tells us what genuine faith does and how we keep it and how it stays genuine. 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's a purpose and there's a way we got to stay. Somebody say, stay girded up. Cover your mind. Stay sober. That's right. And not only that, as obedient children. Ooh, somebody say obedient children. Oh, as somebody, are you obeying God? I need y'all to repeat this. Are you obeying God? Or are you obligated to people? See, as children of God, it here it says as obedient children, which lets us know sometimes we may not be, but as obedient children, we are not conforming ourselves to the former lust, i.e. do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We don't act like we acted when we were in ignorance, but as he who called you is holy. I love this. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I like this because it is a command, it is a declaration, and it is an identifier. Somebody say command, declaration, identifier. Y'all, it takes genuine faith to remember that by the grace of God, we really are holy. That's what he said, not Katie. And when we go from almost faith to genuine faith, we go to 1 Peter 22 through 23. And he tells us, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. See, every time we obey God, we're purified. Somebody say, thank you for the purification. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, here we go, y'all. How are we going to do it? Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Somebody say, love one another with a pure heart. Mm-hmm. Because, see, we've been born again. So having been born again, we are not incorruptible seed, remember? But by the grace of God, incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Isaiah says, the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of God lasts forever. That's what keeps us genuine, not by power, not by might, not by my efforts, but somebody say, because of the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus. So it's not about being famous or having recognition for what we have done, what we have accomplished, and how our faith has grown. But it is through the genuine faith of God that never fails. Somebody say that never fails. The word of God, which lives and abides in us forever. Stand on your feet, House of Judah. It's nothing better than knowing that we don't have to sustain it. We just have to be faithful. And our being faithful is what makes that genuine, that makes our faith genuine. Let us pray. Most gracious and holy God, Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, because it is because of your genuine faith that we have a faith that is incorruptible, our faith that cannot be tainted, and it is precious. And day by day, as we walk with you, it's a journey, Lord God. It's a walk, and it takes step after step after step. And thank God, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've placed your mark on us. It can't be moved. It can't be taken away. It cannot be removed because of your shed blood. And so we thank you, Father, Lord, the Holy Spirit, you, Jesus, that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit and through faith of salvation that we are able to belong to you and to have that faith that does not tarnish. And Lord, whenever we feel moved, and when we feel the fire, and when we feel the weakness or the disappointment or whatever may be upon us, help us to remember. Help us to remember that it is your love. It is your grace. It is you, your shed blood, that makes us holy. And so, God, we pray. We pray for all of the students and the children, Lord God. We pray and we remember and we stand in and we establish that House of Judah is called, chosen, and we are right on time. Lord God, we thank you that you keep all of us safe. You endow us with courage and wisdom. And as we look out and we are reminded of world peace, Lord, we pray that this world will align with you. Justice, peace, kindness, and remembering the sacrifices that not only Dr. King made, but all the others who do day by day, standing for your truth. Help us to remember, while we may not give up our physical lives, Lord God, every time we share our testimony, every time we show kindness, every time we show peace, every time we remember that your name is great, we are in this world. Bring out your love and your peace in this world. And so as we remember how faithful you are to us, great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto us, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. For it is in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.